Go to Matthew, and we're looking at, we take advantage of Christmas story and telling it, and as a Christian, there's some things every Christian should understand. Now, if you really think Santa Claus is part of Christmas, I don't know what to tell you. I'm more interested in the biblical perspective, and then think about what I'm getting ready to tell you. Christmas, December 25th, was celebrated 300 years before Jesus ever came to this earth as a pagan ritual, the Yule log, all of that stuff. The paganism and literally the evil, the drinking, the drugs, all of that was taking place, I believe, 250 to 300 years before Jesus ever came. And it was the Catholics who said December 25th is the day of the infant. Okay? I think there's some things you should know as a Christian, a Bible believer, about this time of year. And if you wanted to know where the early days of Jesus is found in the Bible, that's going to be in Matthew with a lineage showing he's the king, and in Luke with the lineage because he's the son of man. No lineage in Mark or John. So in Matthew chapter 1, you've got the lineage here, and it says here, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This is written about 25 years after Jesus ascends to heaven, and God uses Matthew to tell the Jews, you missed your king. He was here, he died, he rose again, and you missed him. That's the purpose of Matthew, you missed the king. So, to link it to Abraham and David, to link Jesus means he was the Messiah. Now skip on over to verse number 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David and the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Three sets of 14. It is not in your Bible that 14 generations is when the curse was lifted. But that is normally the way it's taught. So 14 is a key number. It's not just random. 14 is a very important number to the Jews because David's lineage, you'll see it this morning in the message, I won't get into it now, but David's lineage had been cursed. Jeconiah threw the Bible in the fire and God said, that's it. So he cursed it, but after 14 generations, according to the Jews, the curse could be lifted. So that's very important. It looks like a random verse to us. Now look down at verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, till you get down to verse number 24, all of this is dealing with Joseph. And it's very important. Let me see if I would think to a Bible believer, to a Catholic, when you say the Virgin Mary, they're going to get mystical on you and they're going to think, oh, time to worship a woman. As a Bible believer, the virgin birth should mean something different to you. Let's keep reading here and then I'll show it to you. Ready? Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, the idea of you'll hear this morning, I hope if I restate some things that some things will stick with you, okay? The idea of a virgin giving birth to a child goes all the way back to Genesis 10. When Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod, one of the wickedest men in the Bible, supposedly gave birth as a virgin to Tammuz. Now, you've not looked into the two Babylons. That's very important. However, the idea, Satan knew that the seed of the woman was going to crush his head. He knew that from Genesis 3. He just didn't know who, and he didn't know how. So Satan's war in the occult and paganism has always been the worship of a woman, or the worship of a woman and a child, whether it's in Egypt or Syria or all of that. Why are there so many religions? Because Satan is shooting in many directions, trying to stop the one that will, God said, would kill him or destroy him. So you end up now, it's Christmas time, all right? We're looking at the Christmas story. The importance of Mary being a virgin, that which is conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. Why is that important to you and me? Because the blood of the child comes from the Father, right?
Amen.
So when they don't know whose child the baby belongs to, they do a blood test to do what? Match the blood to the right dad, right? That's standard operating procedure, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when you hear virgin birth, she was a virgin that gave birth to Jesus, what should that mean to you? That meant God had been born and the blood of Jesus Christ came from the Father.
Amen. Amen.
And the blood that Jesus shed on the cross was God's blood.
Amen.
It wasn't, you understand? That's what the virgin birth means to us. Now Mary, I think, is a great girl. She's a great lady. She should be a hero. God doesn't use impure vessels. So she was obviously a pure girl. She was a good girl. But she is somebody that God, I think, exalts in the Bible. And so the virgin birth should mean something to you. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. All right. Then, watch this. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And it says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay, so Mary and Joseph did not know each other in a physical relationship until after Jesus was born. But Mark chapter 6, we saw last week, shows that Jesus had, I believe, four half-brothers. Mary kept having children by Joseph. And he had sisters, half-sisters, right, by Joseph. So here's Jesus, whose father is God. And then you have his brothers and sisters in the same family. So he was raised with half-brothers and sisters, but Mary kept having children. Why is that important? Because in a Catholic area, they teach that Mary was a perpetual virgin. And there's no Bible to back that up. If anything, there's Bible to prove that that's wrong. That's just something to elevate a woman. And you'll notice in the Bible, women always represent false religion. And in our society, it's amazing how many movies now, you know. I'm used to, like, you know, the John Wayne Westerns, you know. Or you know, I don't want to lift up Clint Eastwood too much, because I grew up watching the TV versions of Clint Eastwood movies, and somebody gave me a Clint Eastwood movie on a DVD. And I was like, hey, I saw that as a kid. And I thought I would watch it. And when I had seen it as like a 10-year-old kid, the TV version took out all the cussing and all of the filth and the nudity. I thought I'd sit down and watch it. Anyway, don't do that. But anyway, somebody gave me a DVD, and I was like, man, I didn't know Clint Eastwood was in nasty movies. So we, you know, took it and threw it away. The reason I'm telling you that is our modern society, it seems like all of the hero movies now has to have a woman coming to the rescue. You know what I mean? Because men, I guess, are low on testosterone or something. I don't know. But my wife and daughter wanted me to sit down and watch something with them last night. They said, Dad, come on, sit here and watch this. And man, there was four stinking women fighting. And I was like, where's the men? they were like, oh, come on, Dad. I was like, I'm telling you, when you want a warrior, you don't go find a woman. Nobody says, where's a woman that can save me? You know, I just, but since Hollywood is changing, the reason I said that is the exaltation of a woman is either occultic or it is fantasy. All right? In your Bible, the exaltation of woman always leads to a false religion. You say, that's misogynistic. Yeah, that's it. I don't care what you call it. Warriors are men. That's the way God is. Did you know, and I'm going to, let me just put this one more plug. There is no society that's ever been run by women. In history of 6,000 years on the earth, all societies are run by men. Women cannot run a society. That's just God's order, you understand? So it's amazing how we're being programmed by Hollywood and all this other. Okay, back to the Bible. Ready, all right? Social issues back here. You've got Mary, all right? And now, very important. This is called the first advent of Jesus. Okay, that's what the Sunday school lesson's called. Why is it an advent? If you look up the definition of the word advent means any important or epic history-making arrival. And when you look at history, think with me just for a second, from creation to Jesus coming was 4,000 years. Now it's been 2,000 more years, and we're right about here, okay? This advent centered time on it, right? 0 AD, remember, BC, before Christ. A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, okay? So Jesus is coming the first time, restructured the whole world. There were no orphanages. There were no hospitals. There were no government benevolences until after Jesus came. Jesus literally changed the course of the world with his first coming. Everything changed. Okay, watch. You say everything changed? Before Jesus came, there were multiple wives in marriage. After Jesus came, you get one wife. You don't get as many as you want. That's goofy anyways. There's so much that changed when Jesus came. That's why it's the first advent. The first advent, he changed literally world history. Then Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. One more aspect about that. Just we're not going to look it all up. If you take a picture of the board with your camera, it would help. But all the way from Genesis 3:15, all through the Old Testament, this is just the prophecies of Jesus being born. Genesis 3:15, Genesis 12, Abraham, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Genesis 22, God shall provide himself a lamb. Himself, he will come as a lamb. All of these, a virgin shall conceive. His name, a son, is born. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor. All through the Bible, in the Old Testament, God said, you say, where are you going with this? Well, part of Christmas is God fulfilled his promise to come. He's been promising for 4,000 years, I'm going to come and die as your creator. That's part of the Christmas story. I couldn't go to him, he came to me. I'm so filthy and nasty, I have no hope of saving myself. He had to come here to die for me. That's Christmas, right? That's me celebrating. That's what I'm celebrating this week. So here's some Old Testament verses. Daniel 9:25 told the exact day when he would come. Micah 5:2 told the exact place, Bethlehem, where he would be born. You know what's wonderful about this is there's no other founder of any other religion that announced when and where and how he would come to the earth. Jesus is the only one.
Amen.
Well, I just don't know if I'm in the right religion and I need to inspect other religions. There's no other religion to inspect. There's only one whose creator died for you.
Right.
None of the others did. There's only one that came to fulfill the promise. Amen. So that's what one of the things that makes Christmas so exciting and such a blessing. So you've got this and the Advent. Now, If you were looking as a Christian, Luke 1 and 2 is going to have the early days of Jesus. We just read Matthew 1, which is about the conception of the Holy Ghost. Stop, just for a second. The miracle of Christmas is not that Jesus was born. The miracle of Christmas is the conception. What was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. That's the miracle of Christmas. That God would limit himself to human flesh for 33 and a half years without sin. That God, that only God could do that. To fit into a human body for the purpose of suffering. He had to come in a body like ours so that he could suffer for our sin, even though himself was sinless. So the miracle of Christmas is the conception. When you read Matthew 2, you're going to read about 2 years later with Jesus as a child before he goes to Egypt, and that's where you're going to read about the star, the camels, and the magi, and we'll look at that tonight. So when you say, where's the Christmas story? I would hope, as a Bible believer, you could say Luke 1 and 2 and Matthew 1. Now, go to Luke chapter 1, and let's look at something here. It's a little bit more to kind of help us with Matthew, Mark, Luke. There's so many wonderful songs. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Songs about Christmas that you rejoice in. When the Savior reached down for me. God reached way down. He left heaven. All that he left to come here. It's amazing. We have a lot to praise God for this week from a Christian perspective. In Luke chapter 1, watch this. I'll give you some verses to mark, and then I'll give you something to write in your Bible. Look at verse 5. Ready? Luke 1, 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, the course of Abiah. Stop. Course of Abiah in your Bible should be underlined. And nobody knows what it means. But right next to it, you should put this verse right here. 1 Chronicles 24 and verse 10. And it tells you the course of Obadiah. All the priests could not come to the temple at once. There was too many of them. So they had to break them down into 12 groups that would come to the temple, do their business, serve in the temple for that period of time, and then they would move to the next course, and then the next course, and then the next course. 1 Chronicles 24:10 tells you that the course of Abiah was for the priests, and Zechariah came home. This is the wife, husband, the mom and dad of John the Baptist. Zechariah came home after the course of Abiah in June or July. That's when the course of Abiah ended. Okay? Well, as you read Luke 1, that's when she conceived. So, 9 months later, in March or April, John the Baptist was born. Right? Everybody see what I'm doing? So, she conceives John the Baptist in June or July. 9 months later, John the Baptist is born. And then Luke 1:24 and 1:20. Well, here, look at you're in chapter Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 24. Okay? And in verse 26. I'm sorry. I got that wrong, didn't I? I need to watch this. Here we go. Okay. All right. Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Look over at verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. So when the angel appeared to Mary, Elizabeth was already 6 months pregnant, right? So John the Baptist was 6 months older than the coming of the Lord Jesus. You say, why is that important? If you know Luke 1:5, 1 Chronicles 24:10, and then Luke 1:26 and 36, you could figure out, watch, John conceived, June, July, John the Baptist born, March or April, and then 6 months later would be the birth of Jesus. When was Jesus born? According to the Bible. He was born in September. That's me using the Bible to say, okay, what time was it? So the shepherds, I think you've heard me say this before, but the shepherds could not have been by watch their flocks by night in December. You'd freeze to death. It had to have been, there's only two times it could have been. It would have either been in the spring or the fall, and the Bible teaches, I believe, the Lord Jesus was born in the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, if you read Zechariah 14, 16 through 19, we're going to celebrate Jesus' coming to this earth for 1,000 years in the millennium. Okay? So September, I believe, is the time Jesus came. If I can ever get out of the mode that I'm in as a pastor, I'd like to, in September, have a Christmas Sunday. Amen? I just get going so fast and I get things, but I think it'd be great to say, okay, if you really wanted to celebrate the time Jesus came to this earth, it would be September. Scripturally. Okay? And you should know that as a Christian. December 25th, let me say it again. December 25th is the celebration of paganism, and it gets filthy, immoral, drunken, drugs, 300 years before Jesus came to this earth. Because December 21st is what? What's tomorrow? Does anybody know?
It's the winter solstice.
Right? Tomorrow is the longest night of the year, right? Yeah. The shortest day, tomorrow will have the least amount of daytime and the longest amount of night. So the evergreen tree was a picture of life, and you gotta keep in mind, electricity's only been around for what, 100, and Thomas Edison did it in the late 1800s, so lights like this are only, what, 140, 150 years old? Do you realize before that, for thousands of years, in the winter, wherever you were at, you used candles. You used lamps. Have you ever seen a whole room lit up with candles? It's dreary. It's dark. It's like, there's nothing, it's spooky. Well, can you imagine before 150 years ago with this type of lighting? You come in, you hit a switch. Wow, we enjoy this. The darkest time of the year was December, and that's when people would get the most depressed. So they would celebrate new life after December 21st, and December 25th was supposed to be the birth of Mithra, the sun. So that's when the days start getting longer, and all of that. It's the worship of the stars, the worship of nature, all of that. It's garbage. Catholicism comes along and names December 25th, even though they knew better. They may not have. They don't read their Bible, but they named it the Day of the Infant. That happened 1,200 years ago. I'm sorry, excuse me. That was done in the 4th century and the 1200s in two separate stages. So let's not get into that. All I think you should know is I think you should know the truth about Christmas. And when you read your Bible, it ought to make sense. Amen? Next. Go to Luke, look at verse 128, because we live in a Catholic area. I think this is important. It says here, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. That's the reason the Catholics worship a woman, because, well, she's blessed among women. Right in your Bible, if it's not, it is in mine. It's in my center column reference. But Judges 5:24, Mary is said, God tells Mary, you're blessed among women. In Judges 5:24, Jael is blessed above women. You know who Jael is? Jael is the one that drove the nail through the head of Sisera, right in his temple, and nailed his head to the ground. That's Wonder Woman right there. No, I'm just kidding. Man, that's the one that God said, blessed are you, above women. We don't worship Drake. No, nobody should be worshipped, let alone a woman.
Amen.
And if you use your, but I'm telling you, Luke 1:28 said that is why the Catholics worship Mary. And you should know, Mary's not the only one that was called blessed in the Bible. Jael was called blessed. There's another woman in Kings that was called a great woman. Remember the Shunammite widow took care of Elijah? She was called great. All I'm telling you is this. In a Catholic area, you should know, just because God said you're blessed, I think that means God was saying, I can use you. I can use you to bring the Lord Jesus' body. He always existed. But of his body, I can use you to bring his body into the world as a pure, holy girl. Okay? So, Mary, and then keep in mind something. Just we'll move to the next point. The shepherds, when they found Joseph and Mary, nobody worshiped Mary. The shepherds worshiped Jesus.
Amen.
And 2 years later, when the kings and the wise men came, they didn't worship Mary. They worshiped Jesus.
Amen.
Nobody in the Bible worships Mary. Except Catholics, and that's what's sad. They do that out of tradition. So, we should know that. Mary, I told you, Mary had other children from Joseph, and that's Mark chapter 6. What are some lessons you can learn? Okay, let's end with this. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Can you imagine that doing what God wants you to do, but can you imagine explaining to somebody, Mary, first time, so she has, the angel says, you're going to conceive and it's going to be the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine her telling her mom, Mom, I'm pregnant? Can you imagine the shock? Can you imagine the misunderstanding that was handled? Who, Mary? Nobody. I'm telling you, it was the Lord. Yeah, right. Okay, I don't think Mary's mother believed it any more than you would or I would. Oh, that's convenient. Oh, the Lord did it. Wow, what are you from America or something? Just blame it on God? Okay, that was a joke. No, Mom. A virgin shall conceive. Isaiah 7:14, 750 years ago. That's me. I'm the virgin. God told me. He told me, Emmanuel, God with us. Then that conversation, possibly an argument, got finished. And then who did she tell? Can you imagine telling Joseph? Joseph, I'm pregnant. Married by who? The Lord. I know, you don't. He didn't believe her because it took a dream to convince him.
Correct.
So you know that conversation ended, I think, in a bad way. It took a dream from the Lord to say, Joseph, everything's going to be okay. Because what was the penalty of being pregnant out of wedlock?
Stoning.
So he didn't, I think he loved her. He didn't want to hurt her. So he just said, I'll just secretly put her away. But all I'm telling to tell you is this. When you look at the Christmas story from the Bible, not the storybooks, to me, it ends up being, can you imagine leaving her mother, Mary leaving Joseph, Mary leaving going, I'm in the will of God and it's this hard. That's me. I'm the virgin. But nobody believes me. They eventually would. But can you imagine all that misunderstanding? All I'm trying to let you know is this. The will of God many times is filled with opposition and misunderstanding, and you have to trust the Lord through it. You have to trust God. Can you imagine Joseph? Can you imagine Joseph taking his expected wife, and we'll get into it this morning and I'll show you. He had to take her on about a week-long journey on the back of a donkey while she's expecting a baby, to the point where when they get there, probably the water broke, and then Tower of the Flock and all of that. Can you imagine when I was with my wife for the first time when she gave birth to our first child, I had never seen somebody in that much pain. I remember I left the room and I just wept. Can you imagine just being a husband and wife, and she's giving birth to the Lord Jesus, and you're going through all of this the first time, no hospital, nobody there to help you, you're in a kind of a manger place, and you're sitting here going, Lord, I can't wait till this is over. You know, but when we think Christmas, we think, you know, silent night. I think Joseph was pulling his hair out. You have to trust God. And you know what Christmas tells me? One of the things is I read the story and I think through it. The will of God's not easy. It takes somebody to sacrifice. And it takes somebody to say, God, I'll do what you tell me, even though nobody else understands what's going on. I'll do what you tell me. Amen. The Christmas story, we have a lot to rejoice about this week. I just wanted you, we'll end up, I'll try to help you this morning. We're going to stay on the Christmas story in church, but let's sing about it. Let's get this room ready for junior church, okay? These tables need to come forward. Those tables need to get...